Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 264. This is Evan Vasilik, your host today. Sajid, our fearless leader, is not here. We have our special guest today from onmicrosoft.com, website/blog. And we also have Kendall and Kale are here today. Cynthia must be off partying somewhere. I'm sure it's probably visiting a very important customer.
Or working. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of those two.
Yeah.
Partying, for a sake.
So, but yeah, we'll get to Kip in Niskanen in just a couple minutes. He's from the On Microsoft website. And for now, let's jump into our news. So, Kale, Kendall, what do y'all want to talk about today?
Yeah, I got a couple things in there.
Is it blocking?
I get to talk about one of my own posts on Azure.com, so that's fine. Last week we introduced some updates, a pretty big update actually for Hyperledger Fabric on Azure, which is a popular ledger technology that's used out there. So I've spent quite a bit of time working on this for the last few months and getting everything kind of ready for this. So check it out if you're into the Hyperledger Fabric side of the world. There's all kind of new features up there. And then on the other side of the world, our friends in from the Russia region is the Waves platform, who's been on Azure since 2017. And pretty big update for them as well, where they're basically bringing both new server resources that are running in Azure, as well as a VS Code extension to help developers kind of get started building smart assets and smart accounts and different things on top of the Waves platform.
Yeah, that's cool. We actually got another announcement about VS Code as well, that Azure HD Insight tools are GA. It's amazing the number of things that VS Code can do at this point. So what else? Kendall, it looks like Cynthia has joined us. Anything you two want to raise?
So yeah, I have a cool update today. I'm a big bot enthusiast and really excited that our Q&A Maker service, which is basically a really great way to get started in the bot space. If you have some existing FAQ, you can use this service to ingest those questions and provide some quick quality content for your bot to give to the end user. And so they've actually integrated active learning into the Q&A Maker service. And so this is just going to be a really neat way to basically train your bot and get it smarter quicker. So definitely check into that, because this is a very much a demanded service for Q&A Maker. So I'm excited about this feature, and I know I'm going to be playing around with that a lot.
Yeah, sounds cool.
And just adding on to that, if any of you haven't had a chance to try out the enterprise template for the bots, it's also a great way to start with bot development, because it has a lot of things kind of bundled in together already, starting from deployment of the Azure resources all the way to deployment of the bot code. That it's a very nice and easy way to start.
Yeah, and Cynthia, just to add on that, I know I was cutting out earlier, so I want to make sure that this gets in. Definitely be focused on the V4 SDK if you're new to the bot space. Dig into that content. It just was released, you know, not too long ago, a few months ago. So continue to kind of dig into that, because more and more resources are popping up on how some of the V4 changes will impact existing customers, but also people who are new to the bot space.
Cool. There's a couple I want to hit. One, Windows Server 2019 or Azure Guest OS Family 6 is now generally available for your PaaS instances. Also, DNS Flag Day, and we may want to do another drill down on this, but basically this is a global test for DNS providers to kind of only support the standards and see what breaks, right, so that people can respond to this. This is on February 1st. So if you get some DNS weirdness on February 1st, just be aware that's what's going on. Again, this is a global thing. Go check out dnsflagday.net for some more details. Anything else anybody wants to hit? Okay. Well, let's get over to Kip then. Kip, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and give us a sense of what you do when you're not hanging on the podcast with us.
Sure. My name's Kip Niskern. I am a writer and managing editor / owner of onmicrosoft.com. We're basically a consumer enthusiast site writing about just about anything and everything having to do with Microsoft. Started about 12 years ago with a site called liveside.net, which started right within a month of the announcement of Windows Live. And so we followed that through its whole duration. And then that kind of petered out, and I moved over to a site called winbeta.org, which then changed its name to onmicrosoft.com, which is onmsft.com. And I've been basically doing the same thing ever, you know, for the last 12 years, writing about interesting things that happen pertaining to Microsoft, Xbox, Surface, some Azure, Office 365, kind of things that more consumer oriented, but that's what we do.
Well, it's interesting. I'll go a little bit of fanboy because I read your feed. You know, your feed shows up in one of my news ones, and it's one that I read and trust. You know, but what really caught my attention was, you know, maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, you posted that you had just picked up and moved your site to Azure, which obviously is why it became super interesting to this podcast. You know, and we thought we'd have you on and kind of talk about, like, cause you're not a Microsoft person. You don't do this every day. And so the experience of moving this, you know, like, how was it? Did it, I mean, fingers crossed, hopefully everything went reasonably well going across, but how's it been so far?
Yeah. Truthfully, it's been, I mean, it was about as seamless as we could get when we moved from winbeta.org to onmicrosoft.com. And at that time, I wasn't running the site, but there were some problems. You know, I mean, that's a bigger move to move from one domain name to another one. And there were some problems. And we also, we were on another similar, smaller, but similar, you know, cloud-based VM. At that time. And then I had been a Microsoft MVP for a number of years. And for whatever reason, part of the MVP entitlements was that you get $150 worth of Azure credits for, you know, development purposes every month. And then I was not awarded, but those credits have kept popping up ever since.
We won't tell anybody.
Well, they're gone now, but but I'm paying now. But for a long time, I was able to just, I never, you know, really used them, but was able to kind of go in and spin up a VM. And, you know, I'm not a developer. I consider myself to be maybe the old time name of webmaster. You know, I know my way around WordPress and know some PHP and some HTML, but I'm not a developer. I don't, you know, I kind of draw the line at JavaScript. I think it's, you know, I can get my way through CSS, but that's about it. But you know, I do what I need to do to keep the site running and to make it look good and all those kinds of things. So I had had some, some abilities with Azure already, and it's also, you know, it's eating the dog food for us too. So and then again, the service that we were on billed itself as kind of a premium service. And when I have acquired the site as of last October, and so I was looking at some to see how I could do with some cost savings. And, you know, without getting into total numbers or anything, basically I'm paying a little bit less than half what I was paying before.
Wow. That's not, I mean, so for really and just for the lift and shift, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and for the state, you know, so this is a 4-core, 32-gig, 256-gig SSD VM, which was basically almost exactly what we had on the other server. So that's kind of, you know, I mean, I think we could, you know, it's a single WordPress site, and I think we could probably run it on quite a bit less than this. We do about, you know, I think last month we did about a million page views, something like that. So we're in about 500,000 users per month, somewhere in there. So it's not nothing, but it's not like a huge site where we really need, you know, load balancing and all that kind of stuff. And partly because then I would have to learn how to do that.
Well, I was gonna say you're kind of the prototypical, you know, person that the cloud infrastructure is about. It's like you have a business need, you have to host a site, but you don't really care about the infrastructure. You don't really want to have to know how to code or any of that kind of stuff. You just want to be able to host it and focus on your layer of the business, which is the content.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I do have a question about that, if you don't mind me hopping in. So with it's kind of two-parted. So I'll start with the first one. As you have been someone that's working on curating and determining how to keep, you know, users interested in your website to share the latest and greatest, what do you think about the evolution that Microsoft has undergone? I know you've been working on this for a while and curating a lot of Microsoft specific content. So as an outsider, you know, looking in and writing and sharing this information, what do you think about the transformation that Microsoft has undergone, you know, over the past several years?
Well, I'll give you a two-part answer to your two-part question that you haven't asked the second part about yet. On the side of Microsoft, I think everything that's been done, you know, from Satya is very intelligent, chasing Facebook and chasing Google and chasing, Apple with the iPhone, just wasn't working. And they're just, you know, I mean, you can keep throwing bad money after good, but it just wasn't working. And you know, it was kind of a little bit of a story back in right when we first started the site. I was invited, there was a conference called Mix, which was about a Microsoft conference about web development. They were trying to get into the web space, consumer web space. And as a kind of lead up to that, there was about 12 of us just kind of randomly almost picked to go up to Microsoft and have some conversations. And we had some conversations that Scott Guthrie was there. He was just like a PM, I think, at the time. And Jack Ozzie was there. This was just before Live Mesh. And then Bill Gates came in and talked to us for about, you know, each of the 12 of us asked him a question. And since we were the Windows Live people, I asked him what he thought of Hotmail. And he said that they were very small business, Hotmail and Windows Live were very small businesses, but they allowed them to get into some things that they wanted to be into. And I think all along the consumer side of Microsoft has been a very small business. It's interesting, and there's a lot of us out here writing about it, and there's a lot of passionate enthusiasts, but you can spend a lot of time chasing passionate enthusiasts, or you can just go into a boardroom and sign the contract and make 10 times the amount of money that you would have with all that chasing. And I think that's kind of back to where we're, you know, what the company is realizing.
It's always,
so, you know.
Oh, go ahead, Kip.
Yeah. So in that part of it, it's good. For the part where I have readers who want to read about the next Windows phone or the Surface phone or the next big consumer, we hate Apple and we love Microsoft enthusiasts, it's not so good. Where we are with the end of Windows Phone, our readership has definitely suffered those consequences. So for us, you know, so for us personally, it would be fun if we were releasing new Windows Phone models every couple of months, but it just wasn't going anywhere. So why keep banging your head?
Bring back the Windows Phone 2019.
Right. You know, yeah.
I still like that interface. That's the best interface. It really is.
Well, the second part of my question is really, how do you determine what content you are sharing out? Because, you know, as content creators ourselves and trying to understand what people are interested in learning about, and just with the amount of knowledge and information that's out there, how do you kind of determine what is most relevant to your readers? Is there any type of metrics you use or monitoring, or is it really just kind of as the news comes in, you pick it out based on your own interest? Or
I would say that we certainly aren't numbers driven, metrics driven in that, but we do, and I do now as a managing editor, you know, look at what, you know, what's popular and what, you know, what our readers have read before and what they don't read. And, but it's much more seat of the pants than maybe it could be in terms of, you know, what we write about and what we don't write. I mean, even today, if I were to write we heard a Windows Phone rumor story, it would jump right to the top of the list. But how many Windows Phone is still dead stories can you do? So a lot of it is just what we like. We're enthusiasts. There's about six or seven guys that do this together. I have writers that write. We use Microsoft Teams and Microsoft Planner. So I'll be looking and I'll find stories and I'll put them in Planner as ideas, and then the writers will choose them and then write the story, and then I'll edit it and post it. So it's kind of, you know, part of it is what these guys are willing to write, and part of it is what does well on the site. We certainly do look at the analytics, but it's a lot of it is just what we're interested in ourselves.
Hi, Kip. This is Cynthia. Kind of going back to your decision on moving the website onto Azure, what kind of motivated you to make the decision of going the VM route versus going for like a PaaS service or PaaS component?
Yeah, and you could quickly define what a PaaS component is for me. Just platform is just, you mean as
yeah, a, so like using like app. An app service. Yes, exactly. So using like a web app instead.
So I pulled that up again because I had looked at it originally, and because we're on WordPress, and you know, and it is I think our MySQL database is about 500 megs or something like that. To run a web app, and I went through again this morning just to do it, you know, click on start a web app, click on WordPress for Linux, open it up, and it says, you know, fire up a database server, because you need a database server to run MySQL to run WordPress. And so then once you get into firing up a database server, then you're basically, unless I'm missing something, you're basically paying for a box to run your database on. And so what we're doing is I have I think it's 66 gigs of quote unquote temporary storage that the VM runs. It's in Ubuntu 1804 box. And so then we have the database on that, and then we have a 256 gig SSD for all of our content and storage. And so we're paying for the Linux box and the storage. And if you work that out versus a web app and a database server, it's actually cheaper the way I'm doing it.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, Cynthia, what I've seen, you know, when I talk to customers, is that kind of same thing. People that are really only scaling to a certain point, it's sometimes easier to stuff everything onto one resource, right? One VM, and then they can kind of run it as they see
fit. Right.
Web apps brings scalability and stuff, you don't need it. Yeah.
Right. There was a push early on with getting WordPress on Azure. And there was a company called CloudDB, I think. I mean, at that point, the Azure component of just being able to click and start a database server wasn't there. So you just signed up for this CloudDB service. And that was, you know, and even at that time, I had been looking at it. And we were kind of right at, because they go by, you know, I think number of hits or something. So if you're at 100,000 hits, then you pay this much, or if you less, you pay less, or more, you pay more. So we would have gone into the higher tier, which made it, you know, again, kind of too expensive. But yeah, I mean, you know, and then we also have, like, we're looking at redoing our theme. And so I just fired up a subdomain to be able to run, you know, test out a new theme. And so to be able to just do that, go into, you know, and I'm just using, you know, I just go to the Azure portal and open up PowerShell and work everything through there. And again, I'm not a web developer, but it's, you know, with some Googling to figure out how to do things, it's been pretty straightforward. And you know, I'm not a Linux guy at all either, but it, you know, things are different, but you're ending up at the same point. It's just not quite the same as Windows, what I'm used to. But to be able to have that, you know, bare metal box to be able to do whatever it is you want to do without having to worry about it is kind of nice. You know, if it was just a website, you know, you're just putting up a page and that sort of thing in the database, it would be quite a bit cheaper. But having to pay for the database server makes it, if anything, it's cheaper to just run the VM.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. You know, looking at Microsoft.com, and I remember when it was in beta, by the way. You know, hats off to you for all the years, you know, working on this, and it's a great site. I think, like, you know, speaking to, I think what Evan or someone had brought up about, like, how often does Azure kind of pop up on Microsoft.com? You know, a lot of times the consumer products behind the scenes are running on Azure. You know, things like Xbox and some of the new games that are coming out there are leveraging Azure. So it's when I talk to my mom, even, and if I mention Azure, she's like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what the cloud is. I was like, I happen to work on that, but that's okay. You know what the end result is because you're using this consumer product that touches it, you know, kind of thing.
Disappoints me when I say something to my family and they go, it worked with this product or Azure. Like, so? Like, but do you realize what this underpins? But they just don't get it. Isn't that disappointing?
Yeah, I remember when, you know, there was a time when, you know, before Azure, when Bing was, you know, just kind of getting fired up, and Business Insider every quarter would write this story about, here's how much money, you know, Microsoft lost on Bing this quarter, you know, and had their little chart of showing how much all of that money was being spent to build out, you know, data centers to build Azure, basically. And, you know, to see, you know, it's funny that you don't think of that. It's like, okay, well, they spent, you know, this much money on that, and who cares? And that's a dumb idea. But when you look at the infrastructure that's being built out and the position that Microsoft is in now, having done all that work, to be in a place where there just isn't, you know, Apple, I think, is going to suffer for not having done that work.
It's as an employee and a shareholder, It was some painful years to watch some of that and to live through that. So it is, I echo your point, Kip. I mean, it is, you know, I hope there was that. I mean, there definitely was some vision there, and it took a long time getting here, but it you can definitely trace things back, right? You can see the learnings,
right,
and the mistakes and stuff. Cynthia, Kendall, Kale, any other questions for Kip?
I have one more question. So just as I know a lot, there's, like I said, there's a lot of knowledge out there. A lot of new offerings are happening, and people, I know there's an entire audience of people who are interested in sharing what they know and some of their expertise with the world. And that can be a really difficult thing to do. I mean, getting started with a podcast, getting started with a blog or a website can be intimidating, and you don't know how to differentiate your content. So do you just have any words of wisdom or advice to share after, you know, putting in so much effort and being so consistent with this site, kind of just maybe what kept you going when it became a lot of work, or when it felt like there were a lot of other competitors in that space, why you still felt like this website was important to be behind and to share with people?
Yeah, I think, you know, I do it because I enjoy doing it. And that's, you know, we were talking before about the pivot from consumer to more enterprise stuff. And you can see a lot of our, you know, quote unquote competitors are doing a lot more stuff around, you know, what Apple's doing and what Android is doing, and, you know, kind of branching out to fill that void to keep their audience at level where it was. And I'm just not all that much interested in doing that. I'm interested in talking about what I'm enthused about, which is, you know, for whatever reason, Microsoft. And so, and I think that's a good general thing. When you're writing, you know, if you have something to say and you're enthused about saying it, then great. And, you know, if you're not enthused about it, then why bother, I guess. But, you know, just realize that you're doing, and I think that's an axiom for all writers and all writing, is that you write for yourself. You write because you're interested in it, and then the chips will fall where they may.
I like it. I feel like that's so true. You have to be passionate about something to really be successful at it.
I don't know about Kale.
This isn't a business. This, you know, if it was a business, if I was, you know, paying the rent by doing this, it would be a little bit different story, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean,
you know, go ahead.
You know, not having a good day on that, Kip. I was going to say, to your point about, you know, being passionate about it, I mean, like, Kale can speak to this. You know, when we first started, what did we have, like 100 listeners, maybe?
It was like, should we even do this? I'm not even sure anyone cares. Like,
yeah. So, but we enjoyed it, right? We had fun doing it. We're great friends now, and we've only been in the same place, same room together, what, maybe twice now, something like that.
It's been fun. I think I agree with you. The same thing echoes throughout all technology. If you're passionate about it, you can make it go. It's if when it starts to become a burden or something that you don't care about as much, it drops off. So you can definitely see the enthusiasm and passion coming through on Microsoft.com. So again, thanks for all you do there, man.
Sure. Yeah. And just to hit that last point, we have, I'm here in now Northeast Washington State, but we have a writer in France and couple in England and one in Australia and one in Florida. So I've never met any of them.
Well, you said you're saving half your monthly costs. So right there, you got to invest in plane tickets at that point to get everybody together for some sort of party at that point. Well, Kip, this was great. Thank you very much for coming on and kind of sharing your experience and your perspective. Any kind of last thoughts you want to leave the audience with besides, you know, everybody subscribe and come out to On Microsoft?
I'm enjoying being on Azure. I think, you know, I didn't do it strictly because it was cheap. I mean, using the portal and having the you know, having the insights, and not specifically insights, but just, you know, seeing the dashboard and having all that information. And you know, I've set up a backup service, which was pretty simple to do, and you know, it just runs, and without having to deal with it, and without having to go figure out how to do that in Linux, it's been really good.
So now we can send any of our listeners that are interested in moving to Azure, you know who to ask about everything, yeah. Right?
Sure. Yeah, and I would like to continue. We got pretty good response from the posts that I did, you know, talking about how we did it. And so there are some more of those in the works, I think.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, it serves both purposes, and we're thrilled to have you both here and on the platform. So, okay, great. Well, everybody, thank you, and we will talk some more next week. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.